Welcome to Our PBC Life, a safe place for all to tune in and enjoy. We hope that today's sermon inspires and encourages you. You can stay connected with us on our social media at MyPBCLife or through our website at pbclife.ca. Be blessed and enjoy.
Well, our summer series for July, right here, Summer PPC. A couple Sundays ago, I was looking at that slide. Thanks to the media team, Leah, who puts together fantastic things, those videos that you already saw, fantastic things there. Well, as I saw that slide a few weeks ago, there's an older song, a secular one that came to my mind. And that song was given a new audience when it was included in a kids' children's video in 2006. I mentioned that clip to Leah. Pastor, we already thanked. There's kids' program this week. We want to include our kids all the time. Thanks. Hats off to the children's ministries workers for our camp. Well, when I told Leah about this video clip, she said that if we played the film version of that song, YouTube would probably flag it, and the online recording could be jeopardized and maybe pulled down. So she said the option was for yours truly to sing a couple of lines of that song. So we'll blame Leah for this. Hey, just a couple of lines. It's from the children's video, Cars. And it says, life is a highway. I want to ride it all night long. If you're going my way, I want to drive it all night long. Well, I can see where this is going, but I hope you're with me that you'll still allow me to be in the driver's seat this morning for a little bit. Well, I do enjoy driving. And there would have been a time in those younger years when I could and have driven all night long. But you see, the challenge now about driving all night long is that I do get a little more tired, and these eyes tend to get a little tight at times. Anyone with me? Yeah, all you more mature people. Well, not often, but there have been times when those eyelids have closed for a second or two and the car drifted towards the edge. But all of a sudden, I hear this loud, distinct noise with a shaking vibration that brings me back in focus and on the right side of danger. I was driving back from Coburg on Friday night, and I'd already prepared most of my notes, so I said, I just want to see how loud that is. And I purposely drifted on and went, wow, those rumble strips are pretty loud. You see, rumble strips are there to alert drivers who are drifting out of their lane or approaching a hazard, and they are a safety feature to help reduce accidents caused by inattention or distraction. Folks, there's many times when we don't see, can't see, don't understand, or even nearing a danger point, when we need to hear and pay attention to that still, small voice or a loud rumble of the Spirit that keeps us on the right pathway and for us to reach the destination that's planned for us. The July sermon series focus is walk by faith, not by sight. Today's text is found in Mark chapter 10, verse 46 and through 42. And I've titled our sermon thoughts this morning, Walking with My Ears. Well, I'm just going to ask you to stand as we read the text together. It's only six verses, and that'll give you a little change of position for just another few moments. I'm reading from the New Living Translation, and you can read along with me. It says, then they reached Jericho, and as Jesus and his disciples left town, a large crowd followed him. A blind beggar named Bartimaeus, son of Timaeus, was sitting beside the road. When Bartimaeus heard that Jesus of Nazareth was nearby, he began to shout, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. Be quiet, many of the people yelled at him.
But he only shouted louder, "Son of David, have mercy on me." When Jesus heard him, he stopped and said, "Tell him to come here." So they called the blind man. "Cheer up," they said. "Come on, he's calling you." Bartimaeus threw aside his coat, jumped up, and came to Jesus. "What do you want me to do for you?" Jesus asked. "My rabbi," the blind man said, "I want to see." And Jesus said to him, "Go, for your faith has healed you." Instantly, the man could see, and he followed Jesus down the road. May God bless the reading of his word. You may be seated. Well, folks, we have this amazing miracle that takes place, a blind man receiving his sight. And there's no doubt that Jesus was able to do this miracle. But did this healing just happen? And why is it recorded in Scripture? Well, for the next few moments, as we look into more details in this account, I think there's some truths in this passage that can help us to walk stronger, to step more confidently in our spiritual journey. The blind man, while he couldn't physically see initially, he displayed traits that could help our spiritual ears to be more attentive and our spiritual eyes to be opened. As I share this morning, I do recognize that there are persons with blindness or persons with visual impairment that are in the audience and or listening online. And you would certainly have a more direct perspective on some of what I would share today. But here we have the blind man, Bartimaeus. Scripture says he's sitting by the road. It's probably a common place to see him. The community people would have known who he was, seen him lots of times. We're probably used to walking by him. But on this day, there's something else going on. There's a parallel account in the New Testament in Luke. Right here in our passage, Mark says that Bartimaeus heard. But in Luke's passage, it states that he, the blind man, heard the noise of a crowd going past. And he asked, "What is happening?" You see, even though he was going about his normal routine, he heard and felt something very different was taking place today. It's been acknowledged that those with blindness or visual impairments, they acquire a heightened sense of hearing and keen awareness because they have to rely on the sounds that are around them. Their ears, their hearing becomes more sensitive, and they learn to discern what is safe and what could be a danger. There are moments when we need to sense the spirit that's moving, to sense the spirit in that moment. Friends, you and I can be going about our normal routine, but we need to have our ears open to listen well spiritually. We don't always see when something different is taking place, the good and the evil, but we need to let our spiritual ears discern and help guide our steps. Matthew chapter 7, verse 24 says, "Anyone who listens to my teaching and follows it is wise." Anyone who listens to the teaching and voice of Jesus is wise. I remember as a kid, we used to walk the train tracks. Now, I grew up in a much smaller setting than here. And the train tracks to my house probably weren't as far as the far fence in the overflow parking. Well, when we would start to walk down the tracks, you know, there's sometimes we heard the train and we would do what any kid would do, leave that there. Well, there's other times when we would put our ear next to the track and you could almost feel the vibration before we would even hear the train. You could feel the tracks moving. Friends, we need to have our spiritual ears so tuned that we can sense the Spirit showing up and moving in our midst. There's a wonderful sense of God's Spirit here this morning as you sang and proclaimed and stepped forward in faith in your miracle today. Well, the people responded to Bartimaeus' questions, and they let him know that Jesus of Nazareth was going by. Again, the blind man knew that there was something special, and that atmosphere was about to shift. He could sense that this was a unique opportunity. Well, did he just sit back and wait? Absolutely not. He didn't have to ask a follow-up question to say, "Sorry, who did you say is coming by, or where is that?" He knew. He had obviously heard about Jesus, and he knew right away that who was close by. You see, his lack of physical sight didn't hinder his opportunity to interact with Jesus and receive his miracle. While his ears helped him to sense what was going on, his voice called out, and he began to shout, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." How would you paraphrase that? I call you, healer. I call you, savior. Folks, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. I don't think that he was just settled for that once. Scripture says it. I don't know if he had anything in his hand, but he's probably going, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." He was going to do his best to be heard. Well, heard he was, but not in the way that he wanted to. Initially, it was the crowd. And what was their response? "Hey, Bart, buddy, what's going on? Keep it down, man. Don't you know something special is happening? Stay over there where you're supposed to be." Well, what did that response do for the blind man? It says that he just started shouting louder, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." Well, that voice filtered through the crowd, and it caught Jesus' attention. And verse 49 says, when Jesus heard him, he stopped and said, "Tell him to come here." Now, we as humans, we've got this weird way of reacting to things. Did the crowd say to Bartimaeus then, "Hey, Bartimaeus, keep it down"? You know what? The guy who was just saying, be quiet, I have a feeling that all of a sudden he went, hey, Bartimaeus, hey, man. And it sounds like he was still clamoring because the scripture says, cheer up. It's almost like, relax, Bartimaeus, okay, man. He's hearing you. Guess what? He's calling for you. It says that, come on. He's calling you. You see, Bartimaeus had sensed a moment, but now there's an opportunity to seize that opportunity for him to meet Jesus. And verse 50 records Bartimaeus' response, and it says, he threw aside his coat. He jumped up and made his way to Jesus. He was blind, so I'm sure there were some awkward steps there, but he went towards Jesus. And I believe that now he's face to face with Christ. You see, Bartimaeus' faith led to this direct meeting. There's two ways that his faith was on display here. Remember, we're walking by faith and not by... When he called out to Jesus in the crowd, he used the words, "Son of David." Now, writers would say that in using that description, he was recognizing the messiahship of Jesus, that the Messiah would come from the line of David. You see, even in his blindness, Bartimaeus recognized who Jesus is. He believed Jesus was the Messiah. And at a time in Jesus' life when he was entering those last stages here on earth, a blind man declared confidently that Jesus is the Messiah. His faith was boldly expressed verbally in this declaration, "Son of David." Well, another act of faith was to throw aside his garment. And writers again would share that for Bartimaeus, a blind person, his coat, his garment was important. It would have been a recognition of status in society. He's the beggar by the road. His coat would have been a sense of security. He probably had very little in possessions, and it's possible that maybe his coat, his cloak, his garment was his only possession. His garment would have kept him warm. It would have protected him in the weather, in the cool evenings. His cloak, as he laid it out in front of him, would be his source of income. As he sat by the road, His coat would be there. His cloak would be laid out. And as people walked by, it would have collected the money that others would give. So you see, in this act of throwing off his coat, Bartimaeus is expressing his faith that in coming to Jesus, he's anticipating his life to change. He's willing to give up his possessions, to let go of the past. He won't need his coat to gather income. But in faith, Jesus would heal him, and his future would be totally different than the past. Folks, Bartimaeus was willing to do whatever it took to have that encounter and believe that his life would be different in meeting Jesus. There's another verse in Scripture that talks about throwing things off. It's found in Hebrews chapter 12, the first couple of verses. And it says, let us throw off the sin that so easily entangles us and run the race with perseverance. Folks, if we are to place our faith in Jesus and believe that our lives can and will be better, you and I may need to get rid of some of the things that tie us down or keep us forever in the same place on this journey. Bartimaeus seized the opportunity that was given to him. The result of his hope and faith in Jesus, the Messiah, was that he received physical sight. Verse 52, Jesus says, go, for your faith has healed you. Bartimaeus didn't let his physical state, his lack of eyesight, the people around him to stop him from having an encounter with Jesus. Friends, possessions, our ambitions, my perceived lack, even our family can keep us from hearing what is right. Friends, while most of us may not be physically blind, we have allowed all kinds of things to get between us and a relationship with Jesus. We've allowed ungodly noises and distractions to keep us from God. And I say, let's be careful not to fall asleep at the wheel and ignore the warning sounds and signals that can keep us on the spiritual journey. Friends, whatever it is that's keeping you from a stronger walk with God, it's time. It's time to cast it off. It's time to let it go. It's time to jump into it. It's something that you should be doing or something that you should not be doing. Whatever it is, it's time. James 1:22 says, don't just listen to God's word. You must do. Come on, you must do what it says. Can I state that maybe some of you, you may not feel good enough. Somebody in their baptism video said that. Their response was, but Jesus is. And I say that none of us are good enough. We don't obey enough. Maybe you think you're too bad or you're not the church or the perceived Christian material. What was Bartimaeus? He was an outcast. He was rejected. Most often alone. A known beggar. But as he placed his faith and desire to meet Jesus, a miracle took place. Jesus didn't see all his baggage. He saw his faith. Go. Your faith has healed you. Hey, folks, I don't know what stuff you have, but I know that Jesus died for every single person who I see as, or you see, who's good, who's amazing, who's bad, and who's ugly. And I say that's how you and I perceive. All of us are born into sin. All of us have fallen short. But the miracle, Ephesians 2:8 says, by grace are we saved through faith. Nothing that you can do will bring you to God. Not of ourselves. It is the gift of God. Many of you stepped forward this morning, and physical miracles are amazing. They're important in our lives. But I just remind us again, in-house and online, that the most vital miracle is that of salvation. That step that puts you and I on the same pathway to God, giving your life to Jesus. The spiritual transformation that redirects the trajectory of your life here on earth and forever. When we accept Jesus, The past is forgiven. We start new. He doesn't reject us. He doesn't push us aside. He embraces us. He loves us. He forgives us. How great is that love? 1 John 3:1 says, "See what great love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God." You and I are or can be a child of God. If you can just let me take that thought for just a moment. Interestingly, in this account of the blind man, the miracles of Jesus recorded in Scripture, there's only two that use a specific name of the individual. Others refer to so-and-so's daughter or a son. But here in Mark, we see the name Bartimaeus. The other miracle that's recorded is when Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead. Why do I highlight that this morning? Was mentioned Bartimaeus before meeting Jesus was an outcast, looked down upon by others. Well, the name Bartimaeus, the part bar means son of, child of, one of, and then Timaeus. Timaeus means valued or honored. You see, when Mark wrote this to his audience, they would have recognized what was going on, and the written record would show that a beggar had contact with Jesus. Jesus truly saw him as valued, honored, and precious. Until that encounter with Jesus, was he valued, honored? Well, maybe in his parents' eyes, I'm sure. That's probably why they named him that. But society would have said, no, that's the guy out by the road. When he had that encounter with Jesus, total flip, total opposite. Friends, when we accept Jesus into our lives, you and I become an heir to the kingdom. You and I become children of God. We go from darkness to light. We go from sinfulness to being justified and forgiven. Bartimaeus received his miracle. Many of you have seen how God have touched your lives, changed your lives. When Bartimaeus encountered Jesus, even when he received his miracle, there was still a choice. How did he respond when he received his sight? Well, verse 52 says, immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus along the road. Bartimaeus submitted and followed Jesus. We don't know how long Bartimaeus was blind, what his past was, whether his family had a business, whatever was going on. There's no other details given other than he followed Jesus. In essence, he became a follower of Christ. Life was changed. His journey and direction significantly detoured, and now on the right pathway with Jesus. Well, unfortunately, not everyone who has an encounter with Jesus makes that choice to follow Christ and allow their lives to be changed. In Mark chapter 10, if you just creep back a few verses, we read the account of the rich man who seemingly had everything. And when he went to Jesus, he said, "What must I do to inherit eternal life?" Well, after some conversation back and forth, Jesus tells the rich man to go, sell everything you have, give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come, follow me. What was the rich man's response? Scripture says, at this, the man's face fell. He went away sad because he had great wealth. Friends, you and I have choices to make in encountering Christ. I trust, I hope, I encourage, I challenge you to make subsequent decisions to stay on that pathway with him, to submit to Christ and follow him. Let's keep our ears attentive for Jesus to work and see where the pathway leads as we follow him. A few years ago, after the 2010 earthquake in Haiti, I had the opportunity to go on a missions trip. And part of that trip was to travel into the northern part of Haiti, into a even less developed area, and our team assisted in the construction of a church building. Well, 3 days at that location, and we were heading back to Port-au-Prince, the plan was to catch a bus in the early hours of the morning. And I said, less developed means absolutely no electricity where we were. So there was no lit pathway, as we trekked up the trail to meet the ride on the road. The night was dark, and even with a couple of flashlights, it was still difficult to see what was ahead. You see, our tendency is to be afraid or very hesitant about the next steps for fear of falling or dealing with a hazard along the pathway or in the trees. But we still take one step at a time. We still take the next step. Our faith was that as we follow the trail, it will lead us to the right destination, the right place on the road. Spiritually, you may feel like that today, that it feels dark, that you're unsure, even fearful of the next steps. You can't see clearly if you can see at all. You're just looking for your miracle. Folks, we don't always see things clearly, but faith and trust says that God is there, God is at work. I'm going to place my faith in a God that I may not see or even feel right now, but I'm going to follow and listen to that spiritual voice that guides my path, my actions, my responses. We want to hear, we want to see where and what God is up to. Well, we have to learn to walk spiritually, not by sight, but by faith. To walk with my spiritual ears in tune and place my trust in a God who loves me, who cares for me, and wants the absolute best for me. And I know that if he wants that for me, boy, he sure wants that for you in house. He wants that for you online. Folks, we need to sense the Spirit, to seize the opportunity, to submit and follow Jesus. You see, faith takes over when sight can't see through or past the next part of the journey. I don't know where you are on this spiritual journey, but what I do know is I want all of us to reach that same eternal destination in heaven, whether that's a narrow pathway, a narrow highway that leads to the kingdom with God. As I shared some words this morning, maybe you can relate to Bartimaeus' story. Maybe you feel that you've had it difficult. Maybe you're stuck in the same place, alone, rejected. Maybe there's a whole bunch of noise and distractions around you, and you're trying to get to Jesus, but there's just so much there, you need to push through. Or maybe you're just simply looking, and I say simply, very respectfully, you're simply looking for that miracle. And at times you even wonder if he's even hearing your cries. Well, Bartimaeus called out and Jesus heard. In your darkest moment, in your questions, your disappointment, your anger, your grief, all of those challenges do not cloud the fact that Jesus is real and loves you. Bartimaeus was sitting by the road and Jesus was walking by. He could have just sat there. It didn't change the fact that Jesus walked by. So folks, even in our life's journey, whatever we're going through, whether we feel it, God is still there. And that's the assurance that we need to take into our journey, is that in the midst of everything going on, the highs, we say, God, thank you for your blessings. And then when things go the other way, we still say, thank you, and know that he is with us. Driving in this morning, there's a song, I hadn't heard it before. It says, God, you promised you'll never leave me. When I'm scared of the dark, you're right there with me. Your kindness never fails, it's always reaching after me. But right now, God, all I need. Song by Leanna Crawford called Can I Be Honest? When I'm scared in the dark, he's there with us at all times. Some of you, our story's about Bartimaeus, but the rich man was mentioned. The rich man walked away. Folks, I don't know if you've sat here many times and heard it before, and you've walked away. Today, there's another opportunity, another time to seize the opportunity to say, Jesus, I need you in my life. And I say to all of us, are you willing to exercise your faith, to hear and see what Jesus wants to do, can do in your life and through your life. He desires that for us. I'm going to invite you to stand just for a moment. You can stand. I could ask for the lights to be all turned down, but instead, I will ask you to close your eyes. And if you are comfortable, to place your hands over your eyes so you can hardly see. Pastor Marie did something similar a few weeks ago when talking about voice. With your eyes closed, what do you hear? What do you sense? See, when things get quiet, sometimes we can be nervous, unsure of what's going to happen. You may be saying, how long is Pastor Rob going to be? See, our tendency is to allow our eyes to dictate our response, to be our security. But if we can learn to be sensitive, to get past that initial place, we may be able to hear past the exterior sounds and hear what's going on inside. Inside my heart, my mind, my spirit, and to hear what God is saying and how He wants to lead us.
We hope that you enjoyed today's podcast. Be sure to subscribe, rate, and review it if you enjoyed. You can also help us reach others by investing in our church at ppclife.ca/give. Thank you again for joining us today at Our PPC Life.